Second Amendment to the United States Constitution protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Many people have the viewpoint that we need to change our viewpoints and policy on gun laws due to recent shootings. But if America were to make gun laws more strict and make it even harder for the common people to obtain guns legally, the crime rate would skyrocket substantially as criminals would no longer fear being shot by a gun when breaking into a house. Hence, there would be more burglaries. Guns are essential for common citizens who legally obtain and use guns, as without guns, common citizens would not be able to as effectively protect themselves, as the crime rate would have increased. Also, if gun laws become more strict, making it harder for people to obtain guns legally, the black market would grow too, as people are going to try to find loopholes to continue to have and obtain laws. And that would introduce more illegal guns into our society, which would be counterintuitive to our goal behind strengthening gun laws.
The debate of gun control has been going on for quite a while now, and one of the first cases that I have is U.S. versus Miller. And so what happened is this guy named Miller, his last name is Miller, he had a 12-inch gauge shotgun that he carried over the state lines, and according to the NRA, guns such as that and full automatic assault rifles, they are illegal without taxation on it, and Miller did not pay those taxes on it, so he went to court. His argument was that the Second Amendment lets me have this gun, and the NRA's point on it was, well, you didn't pay your taxes on it, and the Second Amendment is mainly for militia use. The Supreme Court said in militias, people are required to bring their own firearms, so he does have a reason for having a sawed-off shotgun. But on the other hand, he didn't pay his taxes on it, so he'll have to pay the consequences for that.
So, like, that was one of the first cases that kind of dealt with the militia versus individual use of guns with the Second Amendment?
Yeah, indeed.
Very nice. So, another important case dealing with the Second Amendment was D.C. versus Heller in 2008. So basically the problem was in the District of Columbia, there was a law that banned all handguns and required all rifles and shotguns to be locked or disassembled at home. And I think there was like an exception where the chief of police could like give you a 1-year license to have a handgun at home. So there was this cop that he had a service weapon at his job, but he wanted to be able to take it home as well, use it to defend his family, whatever. So he applied for that license, but he got denied, and consequently he sued, saying that that law violated his Second Amendment rights. And so basically, after a while of debate, the Supreme Court decided in a 5-4 decision, so it was pretty controversial, that the Second Amendment does guarantee individual rights to a firearm. So they struck down that law. But it kind of even sparked the debate, kind of grew the fire of whether the Second Amendment is for individual right to a gun or just militia kind of national defense.
That was really good, Brett. Thank you.
Thank you, Iman.
Like, I agree, Iman. Since the decision for this case was 5-4, you can see that this is a very controversial issue and is something that needs to be discussed and dealt with.
After the D.C. and Heller case, the decision left open the question whether the Second Amendment applies to state and the local governments. In McDonald v. Chicago case, it was happened because Chicago had adopted a handgun ban to combat crime and minimize handgun-related death and injuries. Chicago laws require anyone who wanted to own a gun to register it. Possession of an unregistered firearm was a crime, which Otis McDonald, a retired African-American custodian, think that this violated our Second Amendment of right to bear arms, which he, as soon as the D.C. and Heller case, he sued this case, and The ruling was 5-4, which he win, which is very controversial, and it guaranteed that the right to bear arms applies to state and local government as well as the federal government. And the case was happened, it was because how there was a controversy over how the handguns only applies to federal, but McDonald thinks it should apply to state and the local governments too.
It's kind of like the selective incorporation issue of where the Constitution applies to only the national government, but also the state and local levels.
Yes, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like the Supreme Court is once again affirming that the Second Amendment protects individual rights to a firearm, not just the militia purpose.
Yeah, it was one of the reasons the case was passed. It was because of due process, which everything of the Constitution should be like put into locals level too, not just federal.
Interesting.
Is that why you guys think a lot of people are kind of controversial more on restricting the rights of individuals, having fewer guns than the militia, because the government already primarily protects the rights of the individuals for gun laws, and they kind of are a little bit more like enforcing of the laws for the government, like for the militia, but for individuals, there's a little bit more access, and that's why they are kind of wanting to restrict how many guns are available to the public.
Yeah, that could definitely be a point.
I really think these cases really help to like clarify what the right to like bear arm amendments, because people have like lots of like question about it, but after these cases they see how it's applied and how it works.
Yeah, but there's still like 5-4 decisions, so obviously there's still some dissent over what the correct interpretation of the Second Amendment is. So one of the biggest arguments for guns rights is that the right to bear arms protects against government tyranny. So pretty much one of the ways I look at it is that civil liberties, obviously the Bill of Rights, are meant to protect the individual against the government. Now, the only thing that backs up those words in the Constitution without excluding the citizens is that we trust the government to do their job the right way, which, I mean, hopefully that is good enough that we can trust our government. But honestly, I mean, we've seen in history that doesn't always work. Like Hitler, Stalin, Mao. I mean, it's not impossible that the government would become tyrannical and oppressive over us. So one of the most important arguments for gun rights is that the right to bear arms kind of protects those other civil liberties, because if the citizens are armed, they are able to dictate that, hey, I don't want to line up and go to gas chambers. Hey, I don't want to serve in your genocidal war. So they kind of allow the citizens to back up their own rights, say, hey, you can't do that. That's not right. And not just rely on the Supreme Court to decide that this is unconstitutional. This is an unjust law. So, yeah.
And to add, not just against the government, but also against other people. Let's say late at night, you're you know, trying to go to bed, but somebody breaks into your house, and their intent is to kill you and take everything that you have. And unless you're like Dwight Schrute and have a nunchuck behind your blender,
yes,
you have nothing to defend yourself with except for a gun. And in that situation, it's either going to be you or them. And yeah, since it's your house, and you know, you have a better life since, you know, you're not going around robbing people, it's you're going to have to be the one to like step up and say, hey, enough's enough. I know my rights. You don't belong. And then,
yeah, that gives you the power to protect yourself. Like, no one, obviously no one, no sane person wants to kill another person, but you have to do what you have to do to protect your family. And I think guns help you do that. And so, I mean, a lot of people say increasing gun laws is going to cut down on that kind of crime, but I mean, they're criminals, they're breaking the law. Why the heck would they respect some sign that someone put up that said guns aren't allowed here? I mean, the only thing that's going to stop criminals with guns is the police and citizens with guns. And I mean, police can't always be there. The average police response time is 5-10 minutes. How many how many people can one person kill with even like the most basic firearm in 5 to 10 minutes? I mean, unless you have that responsible citizen there with a gun that's able to stop that criminal, stop that shooter, I mean, there's just so much potential of death that can happen. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, mass shootings, and what you don't hear about is the mass shootings that are stopped by concealed carry.
Yeah, if there's somebody with there with a gun, the mass shooting would have been ended right away.
Yeah.
So we have a special guest, Miller Horn, also known as Jacob Miller Horn. Miller, would fewer people owning guns mean there would be fewer gun-related deaths? Switzerland has a higher rate of gun ownership than the United States, proportion-wise, but hardly any gun crime. The country has about 2 million privately owned guns in a nation of 8.3 million people approximately. In 2016, the country had 47 attempted homicides with firearms. The country's overall murder rate is basically near zero. Why do you think this is?
Well, simply put, the fact that there would be much less gun crimes without gun murder, gun deaths without guns. That's just a simple fact. If there were no guns, there could be no gun deaths. However, with that into perspective, Switzerland has, it's very different than the United States. In fact, all healthy Swiss men between the ages of 18 and 34 are obliged to do military service and are issued military weapons, which they are required to keep at home, which prevents lots of crime from happening. Because a robber, if they know that somebody has a gun in their house, they're not going to go try to do it. And the entire country is like that. Another thing, saying gun crime, like gun murders compared to total murders, is very, very different. Because you could take England, for example, which has some of the strictest gun laws in the world. However, they have one of the higher, like London, they have one of the higher homicide rates among civilized and wealthy countries, which is higher than the United States, even with guns, especially with knives. Now that they have banned guns and everything, there's been more knife murders and stabbings than there have been gun murders in the United States. And so now they're starting to ban that. And in fact, you're not even allowed to have scissors in school. So that just ends up taking more rights away. And simply put, if nobody had guns, there would be no gun murders. But however, there are guns around and you can't eliminate all the guns.
Very insightful, Miller. Now, we all know you have other thoughts on gun laws. So would you like to expand and give you the floor for a little while?
You know, I've just got one thing to say. Every gun law is an infringement upon the Second Amendment. And that is all.
Thank you, Miller, for your time.
Thank you.